Good morning, boys and girls. I really love that rip-roaring good morning you gave to Miss Esther last week. I don't think we have as many kids here. How many of you are going to go to school this year? How many of you are ready for school this year? Yeah? How many of you like quizzes? Kind of, sort of. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Not very much. Well, we're going to just see how ready you are for school and see how sharp your brains are after being off this summer. Yeah? Okay. Now, the boys and girls in the cradle roll might remember some of these because we had some of these that we went over. So I'm going to just give you a little hint on some of these, and go ahead and just sing right out with the answer if you know them, okay? You've got the picture right here, and I'm going to give you a little hint. Who was sailing in a rocking boat that angels guarded and kept afloat? Good. Did you all hear that? Noah. Very good. Yeah, these aren't hard. Who was sleeping on the hard, cold ground and dreamed of angels gathered all around? Did you hear the answer? Jacob. Good. Who was hid in a wee little boat that angels helped to keep afloat? Moses, in a wee little baby boat. Who was the man who was faithfully fed because the angels sent ravens with daily bread? Elijah. Very good. Are you big boys and girls getting this? Yeah? Okay. Who was safe in a dark lion's den because angels faithfully watched over him? Good. Ah, yes, good, Emma. I was hoping everybody knew that. Okay, this is the last one of these. Who was waiting in the prison dark when angels told him, get up and walk? Peter, your first answer is usually the right one, right? It was Peter. Excuse me just a minute. Remind you of something? Where did this come from? That's the best grape juice I ever had. Where did that come from? Does that remind you of something?
When Jesus made water turn into wine.
And what was that? Was that his first
miracle?
Jesus' first miracle when he made the water into grape juice. Cradle roll, was that our story today? Yes! Now this is, that's just really a funny cup, because that didn't really happen here. But see, it's just water. I heard it said one time that they thought it was pretty cool that Jesus' first miracle was to keep the party going. Because do you know what the shortest verse is in the Bible? Jesus
wept.
A student here, I think. Yes, Jesus wept. So I think it's really, really great that it's nice to know that Jesus had a good time too. I mean, he said, let the children come to me. He loved the little children, and I think he loved the older people too, don't you? Yes. So I think that was a pretty good thing that Jesus' first miracle was to keep the party going. I thought that was a pretty profound statement. So, boys and girls, it's really good to remember the Bible stories that we hear and the Bible stories that we remember from Sabbath school and from school, and keep them with you in your heart and in your mind your whole life. You never know when you're going to be at a place where you're lonely or you're sad or you don't have anything to do. Then just go over the Bible stories. Go over the songs that you learned, and they'll make you happy and they'll keep you company no matter where you are or what you're doing. And just go over your memory verses that you remembered. Just keep them with you always, because Jesus is always, always going to be with you. Okay, let's say a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for these children. Thank you for the Bible stories that we have that will always be with us, because we know that you are always with us. In your precious name, amen.
Now it's our opportunity to come to the throne of grace and to talk with God. If you have a special request, put it on the blue card and bring it down to the front, and you can join us down here.
Cast all my cares upon you. Lay all my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Let's kneel. Father, Creator God of the universe, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Convictor, we come to you now this morning, and we count it a privilege to be able to come before you, before your throne, to worship you and to bring our request to you, our thanks, our praise. We have many things to praise and thank you for. Most of them, we really have no clue of what you have been doing in our lives and for us this past week, but we want to thank you. Even the trials that you have allowed to come to us, they're for a purpose, they're for a reason. If nothing else, to remind us of our desperate need of you. And we thank you for the trials as well. We ask that you would have show your mercy on us and forgive us, Lord, for the ways in which we have hurt you this past week by breaking your law, your Ten Commandments. And we just pray for the Holy Spirit to be here this morning in a special way, to speak to our hearts, to speak to us through Omari. We pray that you would bless him with the words from heaven for us today. I lift up these requests, Lord, that I have in my hand, and I know that each person here kneeling before you today, we each have our own needs. You know them even better than we do. And we just pray that you would, according to your promise, that you would meet all of our needs, and that you would bless us with your presence now this morning. We thank you for each and every one here today that has recently had surgery, and that you have sustained them and brought healing to them, and that they have been able to rejoin us again. We just thank you for each one, and I pray for those that may be sick today who are not here with us because of illness, either physical or emotional or spiritual. I just pray that you would, in a special way, Holy Spirit, comfort them, encourage them, and bless them. And we ask and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
As most of you know, I travel quite a bit between here and Omaha, and I have quite a bit this summer. I will be picking up fruit in the next 6 weeks or so. And so a lot of times I will go to the Goodwill and I will get books on tape and so on, or CDs if I'm really lucky. About the beginning of the summer, I went to the Goodwill and I got this book. It said, Once Upon a Town. And I always look at the back to see if it's something that I really want to listen to or if it's, I'd just say, garbage. So anyway, I read the back of this. It was about North Platte, Nebraska. And so I thought, man, this is, now is this really true? You know, yeah, it was a true story. And it tells, it's actually four cassettes, so you know that it's quite lengthy and everything. And it tells about how this town found out that in World War II, how the troops were coming through and they were going to stop in North Platte, Nebraska to just have a short stop and so on. And so they thought, man, our troops are going to be there. The ones from Nebraska, we want to tell them how thankful we are and appreciate them and everything. So they got a whole bunch of stuff and so on, and they called it their canteen. And when the train stopped, they found out it wasn't the people from Nebraska, it was the people from Kansas. But they thought they already had all this stuff and so on, so they gave it away. And after they left, they said, wait a minute, how many more trains are going to be coming through with troops that are going to be stopping here in North Platte? Well, you find out very shortly that they had to work all together in order to provide food for 6 million troops that went through there. And now a lot of us did not live during that time. I'll tell you that I'm not quite that old. But anyway, how they, because you have to remember that during this time it was rations. And how, I mean, they brought them like angel food cakes. They had produce. I'm sure that they had many more gardens than we do today and everything. And they got eggs, and it is just a fascinating story. If any of you are interested, I'm willing to loan this and everything. I already have two or three people on the list. But it's just, and to me, it showed how people had to work together. And, you know, as I read the letter that I received from the church a couple weeks ago and everything, I thought, you know, it can't just be one of us that give our money and everything. We have to all work together. And so, yeah, if you want to read a very interesting story, let me know. So today, let's think about that, that it's not the money that we have that we give each and every day, but it's all collectively how we can praise and honor God. And the verse that we want to remember, too, is Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The deacons will pick up the offering at this time. Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the many gifts that you give us each day. And Lord, help us to be willing to use them, to give back to you so that we can not only be a light in this community, but we can also each one be willing to be used of you in our own personal lives. And we thank you for it. Amen.
You just start it over for me. I'm just not familiar with the track that well.
Bible cracked and faded by the years. sanctuary filled with silent prayer. Praise to
Michael and Christina for blessing us with that song, a message in song. Our scripture reading, if you want to turn there with me, is going to be from Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, verses that we know well, a verse we know well. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Thank you, Omari, for sharing with us today.
Happy Sabbath. Feliz Sabato. Sabato Njema. That is in Swahili. That's how they say happy Sabbath. Yes? The mic is on. Can you still not hear me? What about now? I do apologize. Happy Sabbath. Much better, right? Feliz Sabato. Sabato Njema. Heaven is going to be a beautiful place because it's going to be a mixture of races, a mixture of a people that is all one people, because at the end of the day, we're all one race, right? Before I begin, I want everybody just to wake up and just, because we look like, I just want everybody to wake up and just go and greet somebody and just wish him a happy Sabbath real quick before we start. No, get up off your feet and then go find somebody. Thank you. Thank you. The reason why I did that was because we have to understand where we're at. We're in the house of God. Praise God. The old people in our church lead by example. And our children look at what we do, and whatever they see us doing as old people in the church, the leaders in our church, they do follow. So we want to set an example to our children every single day, every single Sabbath that we are here. We have to set an example by understanding where we at in the house of God. Many Sabbaths you come and then you find the pastor is trying to preach, everything is going on. You find old people trying to talk. That's when we need to respect the house of God. Right? Okay. I've been feeling a little bit under the weather, sick the past couple days. And I'm fighting a stomach virus, but I'm not afraid because our team is winning, right? I feel good because God is with me. And today I'm going to speak to you about that God that I worship. And we're okay. And we're going to be just fine, right? Like I said, our team is winning. I'm telling you, statistics, that's something that is huge. A scripture reading today comes from the book of Revelation 14, verse 12. And it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." I think that is important. Most of the time you find people coming here and they try and talk about with so much eloquence, using big words, but it's not about that. We have to respect God. We have to come to God in humility. And as Sabbath keepers, we know the truth. This message is part of the Three Angels message. And most of us are familiar with that. Right? And if you're not, Our church is called Three Angels, so grab somebody. He's going to explain something to you about the Three Angels message. I know a gentleman in here that came from Africa, and he came to WSU, and he didn't know nobody, but he seeked this church out. Not because he knew the Three Angels. He went to the internet. He found a church. He was looking for a church, but something drew him to this church. And I love this church. I really, really love this church because of the values it has. The foundation that it has been laid before us. And even like the letter that Ms. Matching was talking about, everybody got a letter in the mail that told us that there's people who have been in our church that were here, and they've been trying to help our church, and we all just need to come together as a church and help each other out, right? I've been in this church. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been in this church for 8 years, but nobody knows that. Most of you think like I've been here for 4 years. I'm going to tell you the secret about what's going on. Do we see Diane right there? Diane, raise your hand that everybody can see. I used to come here 8 years ago. And I used to make something that's called a technical appearance. That what people who are not familiar with that is, I used to come in exactly when the preaching was starting and leave immediately after. I did that for 4 years. The funniest thing why I mentioned Diane, that's the only person that I used to remember, because she's the one who used to greet me at the door. Every single time she greeted me, she used to ask me my name. She did that for a while, and then I met my lovely wife, Ashlyn, and I started bringing her to church. And every single time after that, she kept asking us, are you people new here? Hi, you know? So we'd go home and then ask, man, she must have really bad memory. Like, something is wrong with her. Why is it like every single time we come, she just asked me, it's like, my name is not that hard. Like, I mean, Ashlyn too. I mean, you can't, she has a lovely smile that you can't, something must be wrong. But in all honesty, nothing was wrong with Diane. The problem was me. And why? It was because of the technical appearance that I was making. I wasn't involved. So anyway, I kept coming. I still kept coming. Every single time, I'm like, how are you doing? I even got to know her name before she even mastered my name. I was, how are you doing, Diane? Are you new here? No. Okay. Anyway, fast forward. Me and my wife decided to get married. And we chose this church to get married in, because this is the church that we attended. We just thought, like, we'd call pastor. The pastor at that time was Pastor Nathan. We called him up and was like, hey, we want a wedding, and it's going to be in July sometime. So we just want to book the church for a wedding. Boy, was I in for a treat. Okay, he told me he would do that. That wasn't a problem. And He had to come to my house first and then come and visit us. He told us to push back the wedding for a whole year. It's like, this goodness, like we could have just gone to the church right across the street, you know? But it's just fine. So we just decided that, okay, 1 year, why? He told us that he needed to understand us, and that he needed to train us. That way, like, he just can't marry people in church, because it's just not right. So we did that for a whole year. Every single week, this man came to my house did a Bible study with us every single week for a whole year. I was born an Adventist. I credit so much of what I know right now to my mom. My mom put that in me as a little boy. He just, no matter what, she used to try and take me to church every single Sabbath. That's how I was raised up. My wife wasn't. But Pastor Nathan took us and then taught us everything else anew. I decided to get rebaptized, and my wife got baptized. We got baptized the same weekend up here. Shortly after my baptismal, there was a God's Closet, the first God's Closet I think we had. Pastor Nathan asked for help because there was nobody there to help arrange the tables, so I came. The way he introduced me to Veronica Jenkins, Miss Jenkins, was so humbling. He came and told me this is the future of the church. No, he told Veronica Jenkins, this is the future of the church right here. I broke down inside, but I didn't want to show. I have a big smile, you know, like I smile a lot, but I do that because I'm afraid. When I'm afraid, I smile a lot. So when you see me, just know like, oh boy, he's shaking inside. But so he introduced me to Veronica Jenkins, and from then on, I decided I'll be participating. And a couple Sabbaths later, I stayed in for the fellowship meal. And I saw Dr. Tan. He was doing the trash. So he was getting the trash. And then he was having really hard time just getting the bag out of the trash. I was like, man, what is he trying to do? So I went there, took the trash, and asked him, let me do what you do. You know, I want to always keep doing what you are doing. What went on after that? Dr. Tan went and recommended my name to become a deacon. So you see this progression, right? The whole point of why I'm trying to tell you this is because we need to be involved. The only reason why somebody will not be asking you over and over and over again if you're new is for you to start participating in church and seeing that, how can I help? How can I be of service? Because that is the least thing that we can do for God. Amen? That is the least thing that we can do for God. Anyway, most of the people in the church, I'm not going to stand here and tell you all these Bible memorization things that I'm trying to do to get the Word of God deeper in my head. But most people are going to look at this scripture from Revelation 14 and 12. People get scared about Revelation. It gets confusing. It's hard to understand. But let's just go on and see what the Bible has to tell us. Let's turn to our books in the Bible, in the book of Psalms 33, verse 4. It says, For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Now, why do I say this? It's because we have to rely on everything that we're trying to do. We have to rely from the word of God. A wise woman once told me that I have a small child. I have an 11-month-old baby. And you'll be surprised how many people in our congregation keep telling me, oh boy, like nobody knows a manual of raising a child, you know? Or nobody really knows or understands how to do things. But this wise woman told me that we have everything that we need in Scripture, right? That's why I brought this verse up. It says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. As Adventists, we have seen we are almost 20 million deep right now. That's a huge number. That's a huge number. At that rate, like statistics say that we're almost baptizing almost a million people every year for the past 6 years. So that's good because we are doing what we are supposed to do, right? And we believe heavily. One of the things is the spirit of prophecy, right? What does the Bible have to say about prophecy? For the prophecy came not in old time, but the will of man. But the holy man, God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In the book Great Controversy, how many have read any book of Ellen G. White? That's a good number. Those who haven't, I don't blame you. I've been blessed where my mom comes here every other year from Africa. It's really hard for somebody who's flying back and forth 9,000 miles. That's a lot of miles to put in, you know. So I've been blessed that my mom is able and God has provided for her that she can be here every other year. She tries to make it a point to come and visit me and my sister up in Washington. She brought me a book, Great Controversy. This is back in 2007. That book stayed in my shelf for the longest time. That book stayed in my shelf because I saw it, but I wasn't drawn to it. I used to think that I'm a Sabbath keeper, you know. I know what I'm doing, you know, but I didn't. It took some time up until I came to that book and decided that I was going to read it. But anyway, let's get back to what we're talking about. It says, in his word, God has committed to man the knowledge necessary for salvation. The holy scriptures are to be accepted as an authoritative, infallible revelation to his will. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, in which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. That is in the book of Great Controversy. You're wondering why I'm talking about prophecy, Ellen G. White, and then now we have Einstein. Oh my goodness, like I'm just jumping all over the place, right? I put myself in a square like that, and then I'm an atom, and then it's just like jumping everywhere. But try and follow. We're going to be okay, like I said. We're just going to be okay. Einstein said, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it yourself. Oh my goodness, like how am I supposed to sit with how many six-year-olds do we have in the congregation? Do we have any six-year-old in here? Okay. Try and figure out the three angels' message and then explain it to a six-year-old. And then if he says we're good, we're good. We have liftoff, right? I think we've been called to spread the gospel of God, to spread the good news about Jesus, and to make it as simple as possible with no complications, right? Most of us, like, we fall short. We come up front, you know, like we're trying to use all these big words, like we're trying to, so much eloquence, like we're trying really hard to make it all about us, you know, like I'm preaching, you know. Oh my goodness, like I'm preaching. I'm really glad I'm not Stephen Bohr, because if he knew we've been advertising his name to here for the past month, he'll be crazy. Like, he's going to be like, oh, okay, I wish my name was, like, put a bulletin like, hey, Omari's preaching in 3 weeks. Omari's preaching in 2 weeks. Oh my goodness, are we getting excited? People, one of our members is going to preach, you know? Let's continue. Today, The topic today is, I chose it because it's really deep for me. And it's from the bulletin, it says, Adventist Prodigals. So now I'm, again, all over the place. I'm sidestepping from the book of Revelation. And then I'm bringing you all the way back to Luke. How many people have read the Gospel of late? How many people have read Matthew? How many people have read the book of Luke, John? How many people read the Bible itself? What does the term prodigal mean? So normally, like, I like referencing, like, the life that we live right now is so easy. You know? We have millennials in one hand. Those are people from age, I think, 10 to 30 or late 30s. And then we have the baby boomers, right? I like our church because it's a mixture of all. And we're so entitled. We're so entitled. The age that we live in, we are so entitled to every single thing. You know? Like, you go to the supermarket, somebody parks you, like, parks in front of you, you're like, that's my parking, you know? Like, as Christians, you find we're so entitled. We want everything and we want it now. You know? We don't know something, we have Google, we just get it out. And then it has to work, you know? Anyway, as per Google, the term prodigal means spending money or resources freely or recklessly. So what does this have to do with us today as Adventists? 1 + 1 = 2. Adventist prodigals, right? I'm not going to read the whole thing. If you want to know about the prodigal son, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11, all the way till 32. I do apologize. I'm drinking a lot of water. Like I said, I'm fighting a bug, but it's just fine. We'll be okay. In this story, we have three characters, right? We have three characters where we have the prodigal son, we have the father, and then we have the second son. As a disclosure, I don't want to say anybody is anybody. Or I don't want to point out, hey, the old people, the people who have been here, like, they're so entitled to being Christians as being the old members, or maybe they've been born in the faith, they've always been Adventists, you know, so they know better. So I'm not pointing anybody, but I want just to speak to you, and you yourself, when you go home, I want you to forget everything that I said, but just turn to God, turn to the Word of God and ask it, what is it that that man in front of us was saying this morning? You know? Everywhere in the Bible, when you see the Father, I want you to think about God. Every single place. Okay, these three characters. The prodigal son, the father, and the second son. Like I said, we do know the story. But let's think about and do a crash course real quick. Here's a boy that he got entitled. Right now, my father owns a whole bunch of lands back in Africa. But I don't see myself going to my dad and be like, hey, dad, I think I need some of that. That way I can get my inheritance and that way I can just start my own life. Things doesn't work like that these days. My father wouldn't. I don't think he's going to be happy me asking him that. Like, I can't even think, imagine myself just going and asking him that, you know? But here you find the prodigal son. He decides to go to his father. And then he asks him, hey, dad, let me get some of my inheritance. Let me get my inheritance. And then I'm going to go try and start my own life the way I know how. Right? The dad didn't have any objections. Took whatever he took. And then he gave it to the son. And then off he went. A famine came and ate up all his land. And then we go back to the definition of the prodigal son. And then it says that he went and wasted his resources. He used all that money in a stylish and lavish way that wasn't really the way he was meant to be, you know? Most people here, well, not in our church. I certainly not, hope not. But most people you find who win the lottery, the first thing they do, they spend that money real quick, and the money, the faster it came in, the faster it went, you know? All these rich athletes that we see, they get so much money before this person's career is over. He's bankrupt, right? I want to urge everybody to surround themselves with a team. If you have like a whole bunch of money or you ran into some money, you need to surround yourself with a team. The prodigal son would have surrounded himself with a team of people who were used to handling that amount of money. Think about right now taking an acre of land and putting it into a young man's hands, and then he sells it. That's so much money all at once for a young person, right? I'd get confused getting all that money all of a sudden, you know? Anyway, let's keep going. It says, after all that, there was a famine, and then he took all that, and then the money had depleted. All his money was finished. So he ran out of money, and then he's all the way out there. He doesn't have any money. And so he started becoming destitute. He started feeding the swine. You've made your father broke. Or maybe he's not broke. He gave you some. And then you went and wasted it. And then he took all the money, right? All of a sudden, this young man remembered the father's kindness. His father's kindness, you know? He was like, I'm here. I'm sweating. I don't have any food. I have to eat what pigs eat. I need to go back to my father. So he remembers his father's kindness, and then he decided to return to his father by a humble confession, right? I said I come from a place where it's 9,000 miles away from here. Every single time I see my mom, I don't get to see my mom often. I see my mom once in every 2 years, I say, if I'm blessed. And every time I see her go to the airport when she's leaving, I break down and cry. It's not that I can't hold myself. It's just the unknown, you know. I see my mom and then I cry. I break down. So I don't know, because she's always smiling. My mom has a big smile at me. She turns to me, she smiles, she's like, it's going to be okay, son, it's going to be okay. But I didn't understand up until I had my daughter. When I leave for work, I'm only going for eight hours. And then I see her, I'm like, oh man, I'll see, it's going to be okay, you know. But I can't imagine what my mom is going through when she has to see her son that she's going, and that feeling of the unknown sets in. Fast forward to the story. So this prodigal son decides that he's coming back. My wife told me to grab a watch. My wife is so right. Like, she knows me to the T, because I think I know myself, but she just knows me every single time. She's like, you better hurry up. So I'm going to try. It is now 10 after 12. Or in Africa, we say 10 past 12, right? So all the money and all the riches have depleted in this man's case. And he ran out of money, and then he was eating from the swine. So he decided to go back to his father in humility, right? He humbly went back to his father. So you can imagine this man is seated there trying to work on his land or whatever he's doing. He might be reading. I don't know if they had books back then. He might just be doing something. And then all of a sudden in the distance, he saw his son probably not the full resemblance as he left because he was fat, you know, like he had a big belly, like he was just walking. But he saw from a distance his son. His countenance wasn't all that, right? It says, in the Bible, it says, the parental feeling was stirred. There's so many things many people used to tell me that I didn't understand. That like, it's only, you have to be a parent to understand. I never understood it up until now. So his parental feeling got stirred. I did it right here, but it says, the father ran. He ran towards his son. You can imagine the father running, like he's seen his son, the father running. I wouldn't want to be the son because I don't know. I've squandered all my money and here he's coming 100 miles an hour. What am I supposed to do, right? So he sees his dad running to him. This is the only illustration of God running towards somebody. It says, he did not wait for his son to get to him, but hastened to meet him. Wow. I want to bring you all back to the book of Genesis. Think about when Adam and Eve sinned and sealed the fate of Christ. What was the first thing that they did? They hid. They hid away from God, right? Most of us, do we find ourselves in that position where we make a sin or commit a sin and then we hide ourselves from God, thinking that he's going to come and then just be really mad. Oh man, what are you doing? What have you been doing? No. I'm so glad I serve a loving God. I'm so glad that I have a merciful Father in heaven that no matter what, he shows me kindness and love every single day, no matter what I do. So the son is seeing his dad approach, and then he's running. And then the son, probably he ran away, and then his dad was probably faster because his parental feeling was stirred. So he was probably faster because of the adrenaline inside. So he probably outran him and then cut to him. But he did not reproach his son. Because that's the first instinct the child was thinking, you know? It continues saying that he lifted him up and then he kissed him. What a loving dad. How many of us here will see our children squander our money, our hand-earned money, and still get him and just be so glad that you're back home, you know? But this father is different. Like my father in heaven, he doesn't reproach me every time I sin. He's just waiting. He's waiting more than eagerly for me just to come back humbly and tell him, hey, I'm sorry. He's just waiting for that opportunity. He lifted him up and kissed him. Like I said, I'm just going through the story real fast because I don't want to keep you here. Most people have a problem when the speaker speaks and then goes past 12:30, you know? I want to challenge everybody in here to think about, why am I really here? Why are we really here? Because most of us can't wait. We have so many things lined up after Sabbath that, oh man, like this guy, when are you going to get, it's, oh, 12:36, I need to be out of here. You know, like, ah, man, that guy, you know? But I'm going to try my best and get you out of here. It's 12:15 right now. So let's keep going. After the warm welcome, the son acknowledged his sin and asked for forgiveness because he was overwhelmed. That's not what he expected. He was just, he was coming to his dad and then he asked him, hey, like, let me just be one of the walkers. Let me just try and be eating with the workers and everything. His father was like, nonsense, you're my son, you know? Come here. So he was overwhelmed with all this, with all the warm welcome. The son was so overwhelmed with emotion that he asked for forgiveness for squandering all that money and then just seeing how forgiving and loving his father was. So you remember the three characters that I told you about. The prodigal son, the father, and then now, let's talk about the second son. I don't want, like I said, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying what the Holy Spirit put in me, and let's just go on. Let's hear the second son. This is somebody who did not go away. This is one person who stayed and kept toiling with his father, you know? He kept walking. He kept doing everything asked of him with his father. Right? It doesn't say that the son was with his dad when his brother came. It just tells us that he was somewhere away. He's probably still walking on the land or doing something that he was doing. And he had all these festivities, right? He had people rejoicing and shouting that he was like, oh, what is going on? Like, what's going on that side, you know? Immediately, he got angry. By the time he came back and asked around and asked what was going on, he got angry because his brother had came back. Jealousy filled his heart. You know, his dad, here is his dad. He went and found a kid and slaughtered it, and then everybody was just having a merry time, like was just having a good time, you know. He asked his dad by lamenting for not having a kid to have merry with his friends, you know, like he was just disturbed, you know. So you might ask yourself, where am I going with all these illustrations that I'm putting forward right in front of you? Like, okay, where do I fit in all this, right? There's the prodigal son, there's the father, and then there's the second son. There's people in our church that they do suffer because of sin. Like I said, the old generation and the new generation. I'm thinking about our church right now at this moment. I love this church. I owe a lot to this church because if it wasn't for this church, I wouldn't be an overcomer. If it wasn't for this church, if it wasn't for the congregation and the members that came and brought me in and just made me feel right at home, what did this father tell the second son? He assured him that he had always been with him. This is the mature Christian. This is the people who have been raised Adventist. These are the people who have been Adventist for a long time. The good thing about the Bible, it does not lie. The Bible also does not change. The Bible has always been there. The Bible is always going to be here. And the Bible will always be there. In the Bible, it assures us. It gives us that we have assurances in the Bible by abiding to the Father. Right? He assured him that he had always been with him. He assured him also that all that he had was his. Ain't that incredible? Think about everything that God has. You're assured that you have all that, you're going to inherit that. He assured him that they were right to show demonstrations of joy and rejoicing because what? His brother was dead and lost but was found. Somebody say amen. Spirit of prophecy. This is what the illustration says. Ellen G. White writes, the fact that the lost is found The dead is alive again, overbears all the considerations with the Father. I'm going to repeat that one more time. The fact that the lost is found, the dead is alive again, overbears all other considerations with the Father. She continues writing. This shows how God receives the erring of the repenting person, you know? There's nobody who's without sin. Don't think for a minute because you've been here for a while. You've been here at the beginning of the church and you're new, or wherever you are at your faith, don't think that you're not in a point where like you can err, you can do something wrong against God. Spirit of Prophecy says this shows how God receives the erring, the way the Father received the prodigal son. He knows a son who has pursued sin, and he knows him also that he repents. But he knows one thing for sure. He needs pity and love. Amen? I'm talking to all the second sons out here. Most of the time we see the young people in our church, we see them suffering. We see them just running through different things where, like, instead of trying to reach out to them and tell them, hey, I've been there. Just like, what's going on, you know? We are too quick to be critical. We're too quick to pointing fingers. We're too quick to just dwell on the fact that, hey, this person has been doing wrong. This person has been doing this. This person has been doing that, right? The complaints of the second son were natural, but not right. But this is the course that the brother pursues against brother. That is all of us in our church, not just necessarily three angels, but all over in the world. This is what, like, everybody, just, we keep just, instead of our church just uniting and growing up as one church, we just keep finding faults in each other, you know? Too much effort to make those who erred free, where they have erred, reminding them of their mistakes. You know, this is just what's going on. You know, like we are not growing. We're not growing as a church. There's so many things. It's just not only in erring too. You know, like we need to be growing up. You need to show that progression in your faith. You ask yourself after every single year, where was I at last year in my faith, in my connection with God? Where was I at? Am I growing, or am I just on a flat line? Like, am I just stagnant, or is my faith declining, right? The prodigal sons, they need pity, help, and sympathy. For he suffers in his feelings. I'm sure all of you have been in a point where you've endured sin. You've been put through some things where you see young people are going through the same things. You know how that feeling is bad. That feeling is really bad, you know? But our young children are hurting. We need to remind them of God's love. We need to remind them of how good of a Father that we have up in heaven. How willing He is to forgive those who come in Him. In humility and asking in repentance. Everybody needs forgiveness. Amen? For some reason, I don't know if everybody understands, but I just want to just grab a hold of the second son. You know? This person who's self-righteous, you know, like, he just thinks like, okay, you know, I'm above all that. Are you one of those? I love the Bible because the Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible might be hard, but if you ask the Holy Spirit, it's gonna. If you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit every single time you turn to it, you're gonna get clarity, right? Let's turn to the book of Philippians 3:9. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Philippians. Think about Paul. He's one of the greatest people in the Bible that I know. But he goes on ahead and writes this because he writes this to the Philippians and he says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." I go back to what I was talking about earlier. That comes from the book of Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to ask you, all of you, if you think you are a chosen one, if you think you belong with the saints, go and challenge yourself today and ask yourself the hard questions that nobody is asking you, the hard questions that only you yourself can ask yourselves. Our closing hymn today is going to be from the book, from our church hymnals. I believe it's 290.
Thank you.
Head home, I'd like to urge each and every one of you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. There's so much going on right now in this world. There's so much. But if you turn your eyes towards God, everything else will just wither away. Let's pray. Our kind and loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And we thank you for the church, Father. I want to pray for this church, Father, as a whole. I want to pray for each and every member in this church, Father. We thank you, Father, in every single aspect of our lives. Be with us, Father. Fill us with the Spirit every single time. Teach us to hate what you hate. And teach us to love what you love. I pray this, trusting and believing in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.